This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Tell me you picked up some tuna for the bagels. Tell me you picked up some tuna.
Of course.
What do you think, I'm an animal? Multiple cream cheeses?
You can't go wrong with tuna on the bagel.
I'm not a big tuna on the bagel guy.
Oh,
really?
No.
Tuna and tomato on a toasted sesame could be as close to heaven as Oliver comes.
Yeah, I'm not a big tuna on the bagel kind of guy. I'll go with a spread. Maybe if I want to get crazy, a little bit of jelly, but I'm not doing tuna.
I love it.
This is DCR.
Multiple cream cheeses?
On 98.7 ESPN.
So I don't know if you saw this. I guess RJ from our Twitter account at DCR and ESPN put out a question. But I don't appreciate the phrasing. I don't think it's accurate. He says, do you put tuna on your bagel? I think it should be, are you accepting of tuna fish on the bagel? Because you could go get a buttered bagel, right? And that could be you're not an every time tuna on the bagel guy. So I think he phrased it incorrectly. I think it's, are you willing to put tuna fish on the bagel occasionally when you go to the bagel store?
No. No. Hell no. No. I refuse. No.
And I'm going to add another no on top of all the no's that Tracy Morgan just gave us.
That's like the gen of drops right there.
She was very upset, by the way.
Y'all ain't right. It's not me,
Jen. I don't know if you saw.
It's not me.
She was upset we cut her off quickly.
Quickly?
Yeah, quickly, yes.
I thought that was a new thing. All you got to do is call and say something nice about Dave, and you just get to, I mean, you pretty much co-host
the
show.
No, she said, so let me see if I have this straight. You guys will listen to people who insult you, but you have to cut me off now?
That wasn't us that did it. That was like a full 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, she went out for a very long time.
And she touched on everything.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how you, like, if you had a phone call with her last night to call in, like, how dangerous it was for you to leave the house and go get bagels. Like, where were you getting these bagels at?
And by the way, what danger was there yesterday? I had no danger. I don't want to be insulting to her, but I left. I was fine.
This dangerous trip.
This danger.
The bagel store.
She was calling from, like Siberia. There was this danger. I'm delivering and I'm throwing things out the window because I don't want to get out of the car. I couldn't have had a smoother trip to the bagel store yesterday morning.
Could you imagine?
I am the danger.
If you had Grubhub or DoorDash and they just drove by and just threw your food out the window.
It'd be hilarious.
No, I could not. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So let's go back here. We'll have Ian Begley at 7:30. It's the Knicks. And guys, I don't even want to say cautiously optimistic anymore. I think I'm past that. I am optimistic and excited and enjoy the Knicks and what they are right now.
I'm on the ship, Omar.
I knew you'd be on the ship. I knew Dave Rothenberg would be on the ship. You got a good head coach. You got a good coaching staff. Julius Randle's having an all-star season. And now with the addition of Derrick Rose and what you can bring off your bench, I mean, it's almost like two different lines. Like, I mean, you bring that bench unit in with Quickly and Derrick Rose in the backcourt. I mean, you see what happens. And by the way, I mean, Houston, do they have a tattoo artist on staff? They have some of the worst tattoos of all time, I think, maybe. Brutal. Notice that
the Rockets we're talking about?
Yeah, I noticed that again this morning.
Who had a tattoo that you were so turned off
by? Who doesn't have a tattoo that plays for the Rockets, Dave?
They all do.
No,
they
but I'm saying, like, who was there something specific that caught your eye that you were so turned off by?
I don't love the face. You know I love tattoos. I like the occasional neck tattoo. But I don't like the big Adam's apple.
Like when you have the neck tattoo. It's such a
no. I like
easy,
a on this
easy
the, like the side of a neck, like behind the ear. I like behind easy. The ear or like a subtle one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you want to go criticizing guys that have neck tattoos, Dave.
No,
probably right.
Big mistake. Nah, but I don't know.
Big mistake.
It's a rough mistake. Look, isn't it?
No, some people. I don't mind. I don't mind some of them, but just like. Yeah. The big, like the portrait on the Adam's apple is tough. I don't know if I would get like.
So you don't have an issue with the
portrait. What pain do you think that is to get a tattoo on your Adam's apple?
It would be, I don't know, neck, like in the on your tat, like there. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it must kill. No. Oh.
Yeah, I mean that skin's not very thick right there.
Oh, and plus you're pushing that the needle into like, oh,
I love that R.J. Barrett was all over John Wall, too. I loved it. John Wall, stop yourself, please. I said he's a tough guy.
Yeah, here's the good thing about R.J. Barrett. Now, the one thing I'll say about the kid, he's not backing down from any challenges this year. He doesn't back down. I mean, you saw it when they played the Clippers. He wasn't backing off of Kawhi Leonard. Like, the fact that he's willing to take on those types of challenges, those types of assignments, that's a good thing. He's not going to take any nonsense off of anybody. I mean, that's the kind of attitude that you want your players to have. But again, I think that's a reflection of the type of head coach that you have. Like, you have a really good head coach that wants a tough-minded, physical, defensive-oriented team, and that's exactly what we're seeing night in and night out. And the level of consistency is why I feel like you can trust the direction of the Knicks right now.
I like R.J. Barrett. And you know what I like about him? And he's not a great player yet, but I like that year one you saw certain struggles in his game, and he is a much better player year two than he was in year one. And he's not a star, but he's a good player, and he's getting better. He's still young.
He still misses a lot of easy shots.
He does. Look, he had that shot against Miami to tie the game that he should have made. But you do. Here's the thing. How many times, Rick, have you seen in the last decade a Knicks young player that just doesn't get better? You see that from year one to year two, he's getting better.
No, he's absolutely getting better. I mean, the entire team. I mean, the young players have gotten better outside of the ones that don't play. I mean, Mitchell Robinson was getting better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And unfortunately, he was having a monster half, too. He had, 10 points, 14 rebounds. He ends up breaking his hand, so you'll be without him. But, I mean, this is what happens when you hire the right coach that can start to all of a sudden, put in place an identity. Like, that's what I love about this Knicks team. You actually know, like, when you turn the television on, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, they may not shoot well because they're not a great shooting team. But they're going to play hard. They're going to play good defense. And they're going to be in most of these games. And when they do get the kind of contributions they're getting right now off the bench from Quickly. I mean, look at that. Go back to that Houston game. Like, I mean, that in the third quarter, it started to get dicey, right?
Yep.
Got sloppy. They started turning the basketball over. And it was like, uh-oh, here we go. And then Quickly comes off the bench. Boom, boom, boom. Couple big threes. And all of a sudden, that was it. It was night-night.
Yeah.
It was an easy win.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you're talking about at the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter, it being a 7-point game. And then Quickly hits those shots, and then you're talking about it being a double-digit lead, and the Knicks kind of coasted from there. But, I mean, to you guys' point, like, you trust the methodology of the head coach. Like, there's a reason why IQ isn't in the starting lineup right now. Like, it's important for him to come off the bench and to be able to play with Derrick Rose and get those minutes to build his confidence and work on the areas, the holes in his game that he needs to improve in order for him to be the starter moving forward. Like, Tibbs is bringing him along at his pace, and you got to trust the judgment of the head coach, especially knowing how good Thibs is in terms of being able to develop young players. So I just feel like this is one of those situations where you defer to the coach's judgment, but you like what you're seeing from this team. And listen, this is a team that's fun to watch night in, night out because they give that effort. So I don't think you should have any complaints if you're a Knicks fan.
I don't think you should at all. Let's get some of the Knicks calls on the line, 800-919-3776. And you know what you guys have talked about, and I think you're right, it's trust. Because how many times over the last, 20 years have you watched this and you look at the coach and you say, God, why would he do this? Or why does he have this guy in the rotation? Or why is this guy not in the rotation? I don't feel like that at all. I feel like this is a qualified, smart head coach. He clearly knows better than we know, and his decisions have been really solid so far.
Yeah, Dave, but people have been asking the question, like, why isn't IQ in the starting lineup? That's been a question.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it's a misstep. You know, like I feel like he's still getting time. He plays big minutes. He hits big shots. There's no reason he has to be. I feel fine about what they're doing with Quickly right now.
To me, it's more important if the player's in at the end of the game than it is at the beginning of the game. And 100%. Thibs have shown throughout this season that he trusts IQ to play end-of-game minutes. Like, he trusts that. IQ is still a player that's got to develop. It's his rookie year. There's still a lot of things he's got to learn about playing a game at this level. But the fact that you did add Derrick Rose to kind of be that pace car for IQ and that they have this chemistry, when they're on the floor together, like that has to make you feel good. I mean, in 59 minutes played together, they're plus 42. I mean, that says all you need to know in terms of their compatibility and the fact that IQ is willing to listen to what Derrick Rose is telling him and all the experience that he has, to me, that's only going to benefit him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Dave, I mean, And I get it. I mean, every fan, I mean, you love the young players, and IQ's been great, especially because you feel like, you know, you stole them in the draft. But, I mean, there's, I mean, look at how much better Alfred Payton has been, too, right? And it's not like Alfred Payton, because he's, you know, he's starting, he's playing, you know, all these minutes, and IQ's not. I mean, Alfred Payton played 22 minutes, IQ played 21. And more importantly, he's the one, you know, that's finishing these games.
Yep.
Because he can make big shots, he can actually shoot, and he makes his free throws. He's one of the best free throw shooters in the NBA. So, I mean, there's a method to this madness. Because in all honesty, let's be completely honest here for a second. Your best starting five has, your best five period has Derrick Rose in IQ in the backcourt.
Yes.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's more beneficial to them to have this all of a sudden. I mean, that's a weapon. When you bring these two off the bench, I mean, you saw it in the Houston game. They also had their bench outscored Houston bench 58-30. 58-30, that's
a lot of points off the bench, 58 points.
I know. I mean, you talk about IQ had, you know, 22 points in 21 minutes.
Yeah, you know, he can score, and Rose can score. And the nice thing about Rose is you can't overplay him. Like, you can't play him 34 minutes a night. You know that you're going to play him in that 20 to 24 range every single night. So it's going to be kind of that instant offense off the bench, and he's limited to how many minutes he can give you every night.
Yeah, but I mean, but those are really, like, the minutes that he's given you. I mean, those 23 minutes are...
He's good. He's good.
No, like, they're really good. Like, he's doing... I mean, he's facilitating the offense. He's scoring points. I mean, he's steals, playing good defense. I mean, yeah, listen.
Creating opportunities for other guys.
This is all you wanted to see, though, right?
This is it. We don't have these expectations that they're going to win 45 games and, you know, win a round in the postseason. All we want, and this is why it's always so frustrating to me, because it's like, oh, the Knicks fans not willing to this or that. All I want is compete. All I want is to see you're moving in the right direction. I think that's what the Knicks fan wants. Just go out there, compete, play hard, play defense, win some games. You know, if you get to 35 wins this year or 33 wins this year and get into the postseason, the Knicks fan would be ecstatic about that.
But not only are you winning these games, I mean, you just blew out Washington and you just blew out Houston.
Right. And you should blow out Washington.
Especially with no Brad Beal. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
You had to. By the way, would you like to walk back? Would you like to walk back wanting Russell Westbrook on this Knicks team?
Yeah, he hasn't been great. Yeah. Russell Westbrook has not been great. The guy to get was Chris Paul.
He didn't want to come here, though, right?
No, he didn't want to come here.
Yeah, he wanted to be out on the West Coast.
But you see what he does. I mean, you see what Phoenix looks like.
They have turned that corner quickly.
No, but Rose is exactly what this team needed. He has a relationship with Fibs, and he's willing to kind of be more of a mentor. Take the back seat with quickly, which is nice. And even Obi Toppin had 11 points.
Yeah.
Flashed a little bit.
Certainly athletic.
Although his 3-point shot.
It's horrendous. I think it's going to bring rain down at some point.
But there was a couple. I think it was two of them he shot that, I mean, weren't even close. Not even close.
No. You almost feel like they shouldn't let him shoot from three at this point.
Yeah, I would rather, like, there's a reason why you're open. Like, we're having those conversations about R.J. Barrett. Like, oh, he's open all the time. Well, because they're leaving.
There's a reason why you're open all the time.
In today's NBA, that's an area of his game he's going to have to develop. If he's going to play the four, he has to develop that area of his game. Has to. But he's got the right guy to learn from. I mean, Julius Randle. I mean, you're seeing what Julius Randle has become this season. So, I mean,
I feel like Barrett. Don't you feel like Barrett is more like Julius? I feel like Barrett's game is, like, almost identical to Julius Randle's game.
Barrett's game can't be identical to Julius Randle's game, though, right? It can't be.
Feels like that's the kind of player he is.
Huh?
Doesn't it feel like that's the kind of player he is, though? I watched both of them play. Maybe it's because they're both lefty, but it's almost the same kind of game.
Yeah, like,
R.J. Barrett can't shoot from the outside.
No, he can't. He's got to get better at that, too. He has to get better. Rick, you talked about all of those things in his game going in the right direction from his rookie season. That's the one thing that's going in the opposite direction. Like, that's an area he's got to get better.
He has to be able to shoot the ball. Still young, though.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
22. Your big number.
22.
22. Do you know what 22 refers to?
22. No, I don't.
22 days without a blue check mark on Twitter for you.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
22. You don't think you'll get it back at all?
No, never. Never. I'm getting tweets that, I mean, fictional characters are getting checked. Ted Lasso has a check mark.
I watched Ted Lasso this weekend. I love that show.
You loved it, right?
Oh, well, we're 5 episodes in, yes.
That's how I would say, if Ted Lasso and Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights had a baby, that would be me. That's how I coach. That's my coaching style. The hybrid. Lasso,
but he's,
Coach Taylor.
You know, I thought it was going to be like he was just a joke, and he kind of is, but he's so likable on that show, isn't he?
Oh, you love him.
Oh.
You can't help but love him. Wait till you get to, I'm telling you right now, Canty will agree, when you get to the one scene when he's in the pub and he ends up playing darts, awesome.
I feel bad about the whole thing with his wife, though.
I told you, could you imagine? But that's, he's got to deal with that in real life, too. His real wife left him for Harry Styles.
I don't think they were married. Were they married?
They have kids. Yeah, but now all of a sudden she's on a watermelon sugar high, and then he's now by himself. Poor guy.
I think he'll find someone else. Jason Sudeikis is a tremendous catch.
I agree with you, but I mean, still, I mean, it's got to hurt in the moment.
Sure it hurts.
It's not how he's thinking. Oh, I'm a tremendous catch. Probably devastated.
Rico, you might be disappointed in me. I have not gotten into Ted Lasso yet.
You'll like it. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
It's just a feel-good.
You've watched it and haven't enjoyed it yet, or you just haven't even started it yet?
I haven't started it yet.
Okay. No, you'll like it when you start it.
Okay. It's only 30-minute episodes. Yeah, it's quick.
Okay. I'll get into it.
I'm watching the morning show now. Have you seen the morning show yet?
That's with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston?
Mm-hmm.
That's also an Apple TV vehicle. I have not yet, but that's on the horizon.
Yeah, I think I'm like five episodes in.
You got to remember, Rico, Dave is a big Hulu guy. All the other stuff, other platforms,
like
it takes him a while to get to it.
All these online options, though, this is new to me. Like, pre-pandemic, I knew nothing about any of these things. Now I'm like, I'm unbelievable. I got Netflix going, I got Hulu, I got Apple TV.
HBO Max is tremendous, by the way.
Amazon Prime, I got everything.
Tremendous.
I bet you know how to know to use none of it. Not one of them without sure.
I didn't, and now I'm very, very functional. So I feel like I've taken that next hurdle. All right. So we find out on Saturday morning, Seth Lugo is going to undergo little elbow surgery, clean that thing up. He's going to be out for weeks. I mean, you got to figure you're not going to see him till at least late May is the earliest verdict that I've heard. And this is bad because we said it earlier in the show, and I stand by it. If there's one guy in a big spot that you really, really trust out of the Mets bullpen, it's Seth Lugo, and you're not going to have him for a while.
Absolutely. I mean, he shut down for 6 weeks. I mean, I guess the one positive is because he's in the bullpen, he doesn't have to have – it won't take him as long to get ramped back up because, you know, I mean, obviously you're not asking him to pitch like a starting pitcher. But, yeah, I mean, this is a huge loss because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, coming off a 60-game season where, I mean, your starting staff didn't really pitch much. I mean, how important is your bullpen going to be this year? It's going to be huge for you. Huge. And outside of Seth Lugo, I mean, who else do you trust?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Who do you – I mean, do you have guys that you trust out of the bullpen? I mean, Trevor May, do you trust him?
You have no choice. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwin Diaz is going to have to be, I mean, what you saw in the second half last year. Because he was better. I mean, still, he makes me nervous as hell.
I don't know how you could be a Mets fan and have any confidence in Edwin Diaz.
Because you have no choice. You have to.
I don't have to. I have to get to the point where I know that he's going to come in and close games. But I'm not at the point where I look at him and I'm like, okay, great. Up by a run in the ninth inning, let's run him out there and I have confidence. I don't have to have confidence.
I'm not saying you have to have confidence, but I'm saying what other choice do you have? You don't.
That's my option.
But this is why someone like Brad Hand was someone that I know we both wanted. Because now if one of them, like the beauty you have in, like if you're the Yankees, right? And you have Britton and Chapman. Like, okay, if Chapman struggles, that's fine. You know, Britton closes games too, no problem. Like, if Diaz struggled, all of a sudden you have Brad Hand, no problem. You know what I mean? Brad Hand now jumps in that spot. Or a healthy Seth Lugo can jump into that spot. Now we have no Seth Lugo for the
time
being.
Yeah, nothing.
So now it's going to be, I mean, Diaz, May, it's going to be, I mean, Betances is going to have to step up. We all love Familia. We all love Familia.
Oh, come on. Familia, we all love Familia.
Yeah, you can't feel good about the bullpen right now. Just can't.
We got to go spend some money, Dave, is what we need to do.
Yeah, but I don't understand why they haven't. I still don't think they're done, though. I don't think the way this team looks right now is how it's going to look on opening day.
I don't think so either. I mean, when there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, the fact that we keep hearing Chris Bryant's name would lead me to believe that that's a real possibility. One-year deal, just close to 19. I mean, just below $19 million. He's going to – you're going to get the best. Whatever Whatever Chris Bryant is now, you'll get the best version of Chris Bryant. Looking to get a new deal.
Well, yeah, he's going to be a free agent. And then what do? Do you trade J.D. Davis for bullpen help or a starting pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, where else are you going to play him? Like, right now, we don't know what's going on with the DH, which hurts us. Because now, I mean, Pete Alonso's going to have to play first base. So, I mean, where are you finding a pass for Dominic Smith?
I want a disgrace, by the way.
It's really? A joke.
Well, what a disgrace for Major League Baseball, Chris, that we are, 5 weeks out from the start of the season, and you don't know the rules of what it's going to be? What a disgrace.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. But I can understand why we're at this spot, Dave, just because the players don't feel like they should give that concession to the owners, knowing that they want that. Like, the players want something in return, but we're all looking at it as, objective observers, and we're saying, you know what? This is something that benefits both sides, so why wouldn't you have that included? This is something that helps grow the game of baseball. So the fact that they're in this place now where we're about to report to spring training this week and you don't know whether or not you're going to have a DH for the upcoming season, it's absolutely ridiculous. But if you're listen, but for you guys' team, you can't feel good about what they got going on with that bullpen. Like, with the other areas of the team, you feel like, okay, you feel pretty good about them. You feel solid about those. The bullpen is an area of huge concern with Seth Lugo being out for the next couple of months.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're probably right. With no Seth Lugo, I don't love the bullpen. I mean, rotation top three. I think Dave and I both like David Peterson. I wouldn't mind adding another starter to that rotation.
No, I think you need to. Taiwan Walker would be the guy that I would certainly be excited about.
Isn't this the time now? I mean, I'm reading a Buster Olney article about teams not spending money and everything else. Like, wouldn't this be the time now to maybe overpay? Like, for short term, I'm saying short term, like overpay a little bit. To get a Walker on like a 1 year, try to get that 1 year deal.
You would think.
Like, I wouldn't have been. Listen, I know James Paxton doesn't really stay healthy, but I wouldn't mind spending money on a 1 year deal for James Paxton.
No, but that's what's so frustrating. Paxton went for, what was it, $8.5 million, and he could get bonuses up to $10 million. Mets couldn't have, and the Mets were interested in him. They couldn't have made that kind of a play.
Yeah, see, here's what I don't understand, though. All these teams talk about this luxury tax threshold, and they're using it as a hard cap, which I'm sure pisses the players off. Because in actuality, when you look at, like, the Dodgers are spending almost $260 million. $260 million this year with what they're doing. Their luxury bill is going to be like $13 million.
That's crazy to me. I couldn't believe it when you said it. That's insane to me. All this haggling over the luxury tax, and we're talking about a matter of $10-12 million. It's ridiculous.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
But no, seriously, like, so why not? Like, if the Dodgers are already doing it, so you're not going to be the only guy doing it. Like, I know initially there was a concern that, Steve Cohen would buy the team, he'd be the richest owner, and all of a sudden he'd be spending like a drunken sailor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Dodgers are already doing that. You're trying to win a World Series, right? You're going to have to go through the Dodgers. So you're going to let them spend $260 and what? We're going to stay under? Because you don't want to spend an extra, what? I mean, they're $260, they're spending, Ken Rosenthal saying $13.3 million.
But you're not there anyway if you're the Mets.
Well, you're not close to that.
But maybe they're forecasting. Maybe they're looking ahead to the Lindor extension that they got to do or the Conforto extension that they got to do. Maybe they're thinking about trying to, save some cash to take care of that. I know you're not, you're not worried about the owner being able to sign those guys, but in terms of making sure from a luxury tax standpoint they're still in good standing, maybe that factors into the equation.
But, Chris, we don't know what the luxury tax is going to be.
Yeah.
We got a whole new CBA. I'm just saying, and I'm not even saying long-term deals. I'm saying like a Paxton deal or something like that. Like on one-year deals.
Give a one-year prove-it deal, right?
Yeah, on one-year deals. Like, go over the tax that way. And then all that money comes off your books after the season. Because you're right. I mean, Conforto needs a new deal, and Lindor's going to need, a big deal.
Right, maybe Syndergaard as well.
Yeah. I get what you guys are saying. Yeah.
I just say take advantage of the opportunity, right? Like, if you have to overpay a little bit for 1 year because you want, a one-year deal as opposed to a long-term deal.
Yep.
Maybe this is the time to do it.
I still stand by. I don't think they're done. And I'm going to reserve judgment on this offseason until we get closer.
Well, the GM said they're not done, Dave. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
I don't think they are.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Would you say, of all the guests we have, that no one might be more universally liked and respected and appreciated than Ian Begley? Like, I don't know anybody that doesn't like Ian Begley.
No, especially if we slather some tuna on him. Oh, what's better than that?
on to the bagels? Yeah, no, I agree. Let's bring him in. Ian Begley, good morning. How are you from SNY? We appreciate a couple minutes.
Fellas, what's going on? How are you?
Now, we're good. What is this story that RJ is bringing up to me? I don't have any recollection of this. I think Rick and Chris will appreciate it. I once interrupted a date of yours to have you on the show back in the nighttime.
I wouldn't say interrupted. I think I agreed to do the hit on the night that I had a date, and I had to cut the date short to do the radio hit. And so I wouldn't say that you interrupted. I volunteered it. I probably just didn't think the date would last as long as it was lasting. And I didn't think I would have to cut off the date to do the radio hit. I had to cut the date off. So I did the radio hit. I think I was in like a bank vegetable with the ATM machines. I jumped into one of those to do the radio hit after cutting the date short. So I don't think it was you interrupting. I think it was just bad planning on my part. But that was my dedication to you and the radio station and your career. I had to do it.
Now, hang on a moment. You don't think I would have understood had you sent a text to RJ, who is producing, do you mind if we don't have the interview tonight because I'm on a date, which is going so well that, you know, there's a chance here, there's a gleam here, and I can't do it with Dave tonight?
Well, I think at that time, I'll just say maybe my social situation was such that I could afford to maybe cut that date short and do the radio. I did cost benefit analysis kind of thing. And I was okay to cut that date short to do
okay.
the radio.
All right. Well, I don't remember it, but I appreciate that you would be willing to do that and to take the interview from a vegetable in the Chase Bank, as you so beautifully stated. He's from SNY, SNY.TV. You can watch his terrific show, The Putback, with the great and talented Ian Begley. All right, Ian, are you surprised that we're sitting here 28 games in and the Knicks are, I mean, they're functional, they're fun, they're blowing teams out, they play good defense. Like, they are a legitimate playoff caliber team, it looks like, through almost 30 games of the season.
I am surprised. I mean, like most other people, I looked at the roster, I thought coming into the season, the team was going to struggle. You know, we were going to be talking about lottery odds. Most of the year, we were talking about the potential draft picks in 2021, and I didn't see them competing for a playoff spot this year. And they proved me wrong, and it's coaching, but it's also, you look at Julius Randle. No one had him coming into the season. Nobody had him turning things around the way he did based on what you saw last year, and it's Emmanuel Quickley. Nobody had that rookie contributing the way he has so far this year, so a lot of surprises. I didn't see this coming.
Bagels, you know Knicks fans, they love the idea of, you know, draft picks. We want lottery picks and everything else. So we get a lot of phone calls that this is the time now because Julius Randle is playing at an all-star level that, you know, the Knicks should move on from Julius Randle. Where do you sit as far as what the Knicks should do with Julius Randle?
I think you have to take calls. You have to see what the market is. And I think, you know, if you get another pick or if you get a valuable young player in a deal, I think you seriously consider it. I mean, listen, Randle has played fantastic. And if you're talking about when you're going to get the most back for him, I don't see another time than now because he's under contract for next season. He's on a really good team-friendly contract based on the way he's playing. So you certainly will take the calls. I think they will take the calls. I think that it just depends on what teams are willing to offer. And also, you know, if you're putting together a bigger package for a player who – you know, like an Oladipo, a Beal, something like that, even though I don't see that as a strong possibility, you know, Randle would probably be in one of those deals.
So, Ian, a lot of people have brought up Brad Beal. I mean, everybody's going to be talking about him as the deadline moves closer. If you're the Knicks, what would a package for Brad Beal look like? What would you have to send down to Washington to get them to consider it?
It would have to be significant because, you know, you look at the James Harden trade and all the picks that were sent to Houston in that deal. And I think, you know, Washington shouldn't expect to get something specifically equal to that deal, but you want something in the neighborhood of that. So it's a bunch of picks and it's a player on the level of Victor Oladipo. And I don't, you know, I was talking to a bunch of teams a couple weeks ago and they couldn't figure out who the Oladipo piece would be from the Knicks. So that would be the tricky part, getting them a player on Oladipo's level whether it's on their roster or from another roster. That's the tough part. They have the draft picks to do it. But the other thing with Bradley Beal is, you know, he's talked about wanting to win. He wants to win in D.C. Obviously, if it's not happening there, you could see him wanting out. But would he say, hey, trade me to New York? Because if New York trades for him, they're gutting their roster. They're taking away from their future ability to build around Bradley Beal in this trade. And it would be like kind of the same situation in Washington. So I don't know if he'd be interested in coming to a situation where it's going to take a while for him to win games.
He is Ian Begley from SNY joining us here. Not on a date, I believe. He's just joining us here this morning on 98.7 ESPN. So do you think that when teams around the NBA look at the Knicks, that they look at R.J. Barrett as an attractive piece right now? Like, my thought is, could you structure a deal around Barrett, keep Randall, and throw, you know, a young player or two with Barrett and picks, and that being enough to bring in one of these, you know, quote-unquote superstars that might be available now?
I think, like, Barrett or Mitchell Robinson and a bunch of picks could get you on the phone with a team like Washington. But I don't, you know, Barrett, I think he's viewed as a player who's going to be, who can contribute to a winning team, who could be a very strong complementary piece on a winning team. But I think teams will have questions about his shooting. And I think that when in trade conversations, that's going to come up in terms of where he's valued. So, you know, these teams that I was talking about a couple weeks ago, they like Barrett, but they didn't see him as from a trade value perspective on the level of an Oladipo, which is what Houston ended up getting back in the Harden deal. So I think it would take, you know, a premium of draft picks with a Barrett or with a Mitchell Robinson to get something done for a player like Bradley Beal.
Ian Begley joins us here in the show. Bagels, what do you? I mean, he doesn't play a lot, and he had the calf early on, so he's just getting back to, you know, trying to find his rhythm. But what are your early thoughts on Obi Toppin?
Yeah, the thing that is not confusing to me, but a little that sticks out to me a little bit is, you know, the way the Knicks kind of were talking about Toppin coming into the season was, you know, he's ready to play right away. He's gonna score right away. He's gonna help us right away. Most NBA ready, you know, offensive player in college basketball. And then that didn't add up to what we saw early on, what we're seeing early on with Toppin. Now, he didn't have a summer league, and I think that hurts a lot of the young players this season. He jumped right into the season, essentially, a very small preseason, small training camp. I think that's impacted him as it has other young players. You're starting to see lately he's coming out a little bit. He's looking more comfortable. So that's a good thing. I also think that he's benefited, actually, from Julius Randle playing really well, because the daily spotlight hasn't been on him the way it has been, you know, previous Knicks lottery picks in their first season. So I don't, you know, it's certainly not time to hit the panic button. I don't think he's matched what we heard about him coming into the season, but he's still, I don't want to say he's young because he's not that young, but he's in his first NBA season. So I think this is a time where you show patience and you don't really go crazy at what you're seeing night to night. You kind of look big picture with Obi Toppin.
Bagels, I want to flip over to the Nets real quick. And I guess we're all assuming that, you know, it's not really about the regular season with this team. It's about the playoffs and competing at a championship level. Mm-hmm. And they need more depth at the big man position. One of the avenues that people were talking about with the Nets is being able to find a big man in the buyout market. Do you think that that's mm-hmm. the most likely scenario for them? And if it is, what are some of the names that are going to be out there for the Nets to choose from?
I think that's the hope. And I think a lot of teams are looking at that buyout market when you talk about potential trades. You know, like a player like J.J. Redick or, you know, Andre Drummond. I'm not as sure what they're going to do there. JaVale McGee, just players like that. They're saying, like, do we want to give up something in a trade for these guys if we think they're going to be bought out? And as far as names for the Nets, you know, they brought on Norvell Pelly and they brought on a couple other bigs to try to fill the gap here and see if they can, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and see if somebody could stick as far as somebody who can help them defend the rim. But I think they're going to also go after somebody additionally, and maybe JaVale McGee is a guy. He's going to become available because Cleveland's looking at Jared Allen out there as a big of the future. So McGee, Andre Drummond, those guys I think you can get in trade talks for the right price. Those are two guys that I'm keeping an eye on for the Nets. But I think also you want to see the big three play some games together here, get some time together here, get more time than they have on the court together leading into the playoffs, because it is all about the postseason, but you want to see these guys get reps together as much as possible leading into it.
All right, Ian, listen, we appreciate it so much. We really love you. You do a great job, and to watch how your career has kind of flourished over at SNY, it's great stuff. It's the Putback, SNY.TV, and all their platforms with the great Ian Begley. Good stuff. We will talk to you real soon, my man.
Right back at you, Dave. You guys have a good morning. Take care.
All right. That, of course, is Ian Begley. I didn't have any idea that he excused himself from a date early at one point to come on the show. That's dedication, baby.
But, Dave, you didn't hear him, though. He said at that point in his social life, he could afford to cut the date short. I mean, Ian Begley telling you how to be a player in more ways than one.
Yeah, no, he got it done.
Oh, yeah. Right. He got it done on and off the court.
Yeah, you don't sleep on those FarmerOnly.com dates.
Come on, man.
You'll take shots at anybody, huh?
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
Time now for Straight Talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, well, tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get some Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199 plus get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune in to Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, and no compromise. Guys, we'll finish with the NBA, but we didn't even mention this today, and I think we have to. Houston, and the star player that has left or is in the process of leaving Houston, J.J. Watt, on Friday after our show, was released from the Houston Texans. So think about that city, right? You got to figure Deshaun Watson certainly could be on the way out. J.J. Watt, probably you'd have to say the greatest player in the history of that franchise. George Springer leaves town. Verlander's out for an extended period of time. Justin Verlander leaves town. They have lost a lot of star power in Houston.
So was Justin Verlander leaving town?
Yeah, or is he hurt?
Substantial time.
Yeah.
Well, he's missing substantial time, but you're not going to have him.
You said both. I think you meant James Harden. You didn't talk about James Harden leaving town.
I mentioned James Harden.
No, you mentioned Verlander twice.
You mentioned Verlander twice, bro.
It's okay. It's fine.
It's all right. We got you. We know what you meant, though. We're your teammates, man. We're here to prop you up.
The second one I meant James Harden.
Yeah, it's all good. We got you.
This is what happens when you have that second job with CBS. We at CBS. That was my favorite part of the show.
Wait, what happened?
Wow.
When you did your CVS read, you're like, you know, we at CVS.
Well, you know what? I want to make people sound comfortable.
It's your neighborhood pharmacy.
And you know what? You say that? I worked at CVS when I was in high school.
Now, did you actually do work, or did you treat this like the Dunkin' Donuts job?
No, I was an unbelievable CVS employee.
I find that hard to believe.
Oh,
right,
I'm not kidding.
Is it just me?
I was actually voted Employee of the Month at CVS.
Stop it.
Many times running.
Did they put
your
picture?
Thermostat there, Bubbles. What do you got? A great employee.
Did they put your picture on the wall and give you a parking spot?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did not get a parking spot, but that was unnecessary.
Okay.
And Rick, you know the CVS right there next to Kitchen Cabaret.
Oh, yeah. I frequent that CVS all the time.
Yes. Oh, I was terrific.
That's a nice spot, too, because you can run right over to Kitchen Cabaret, get a nice iced coffee whenever you want.
Yep.
My kids do not love Uncle Dave right now, by the way.
Why?
They're not big fans. Last break, I went down, and the kids are just sitting there. I said, hey, guys, good big surprise. You know what we're going to do after we're done with the show? We're going to have a little learning time about President's Day.
Nice.
And my daughter goes, but you didn't buy us any presents. I said, no, it's President's Day.
they're going to be better presents? Off for it and make it fun.
Make it fun. How am I going to make it fun?
Make it fun. Tell them fun facts. Hey, guys, guess what? George Washington, his teeth, wooden. The man had wooden teeth. Make it fun.
Yeah, they love that. I'll dress up as Abe Lincoln and just come rolling downstairs.
Yeah.
With the top hat?
Shoot you right in the head.
Wow.
We'll reenact the whole John Wilkes Booth thing.
You're out of your mind.
You should be able to make President's Day fun for 15 minutes. They can learn.
Dave.
Yes.
I got a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old. They want to sit around for, an extended period of time and talk about presents? No.
Yeah, I don't think William Henry Harrison is going to get a lot of traction with the kids in the DiPietro household.
0%.
Just don't see that happen.
I think they'd greatly appreciate. Hey, Dolly Madison. You know, First Lady and an ice cream. I think they'd greatly appreciate
Millard
that.
Fillmore out here.
God, oh, James K. Polk. Tell them the M in Richard M. Nixon. Milhouse. I mean, these are terrific learning experiences for these kids.
When they turn on me, I'll just like, this is Uncle Dave's idea.
That's fine. Right,
guys,
that's
sit
fine.
Down, relax. This is Uncle Dave's idea.
By the way,
that's an Adam Gase game plan, Rico. Look, setting you up for failure. That's not a win at
me
all.
Me and the other employees of CVS, we look for savings for you, from coupons and insurance coverage to lower cost options. Earn up to $50 in extra bucks each year just for filling prescriptions. Come in or call today for a free prescription savings review at CVS. That's healthier made easier. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details. So seriously, though, Houston, huh? How about the change that's happening with the superstar player in that city?
Yeah, it's a mess. And this is what happens, though. I mean, all the situations are different, obviously. But, I mean, the Houston Texans have no one to blame but themselves. Like, the way that, if you were Deshaun Watson, would you want to stay there?
No.
No chance.
No. No shot.
The guy making the decisions is what we like to call him. Yeah, his nickname?
Tommy Boy, right.
Yeah, Tommy Boy.
That's
great.
Crazy.
I mean, what are we talking about? The guy's in the prime of his career. He's 25 years old. He wants to sit there and be ruined by bad ownership? No. He's got leverage. Get him out. I don't agree. I mean, James Harden, I think, is a different situation, obviously, because they pretty much did whatever James Harden asked them to do.
No, and I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying, like, you look at what they've lost or in the process of losing. My God.
Well, no. You're not wrong. But, I mean, the Houston, they've had good runs. I mean, the Astros won a championship.
They did?
I mean, the Rockets have been right there.
Yep.
And, I mean, they didn't
the
have
Texans
a
Texans won the playoffs. They were in the playoffs, what, 4 out of the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Four out of the last 5 years they won the division?
They had a 24-point lead last year on Kansas City.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like they didn't have a good run, Houston sports. But, I mean, it's like that in professional sports, man. Every now and again, you got to reset. And Houston just so happens to be going through that right now with all of their professional franchises. It happens. New York, they've been resetting for the last decade. New York sports teams. So,
well, we don't have to worry about it because we can't attract stars and we don't develop stars, so we don't have to worry about a mass excess.
Don't be negative, though. There's a positive feel for where we are with New York sports. I mean, the baseball's trending up. The hockey's trending up. The basketball's trending up. The football is – I mean, you could argue that all of the sports are trending up.
The football is trending up, Dave?
Yeah. Well, it can't be trending down. I mean, the Jets were the laughing stock of the league last year.
Well,
you have a coach you like.
I guess here's the thing. I guess trending up seems like it's just it's putting a hell of a positive spin on it. I mean, there's nowhere else to go but up.
Exactly.
So I
mean, the Giants were one loss away from week 17 from winning that division.
Yeah, and a historically bad division, Dave. The Giants were 6-10.
Yeah, it's minutiae in the details. The trend, we're trending up. New York sports is trending up. I take a positive tack today on President's Day.
Oh, my gosh. And so in a combined 32 games, they got 8 wins between the two football teams.
That's not great.
Okay, all right. All right. We're trending up.
But it's trending up.
They're trending up.
Yeah, damn listen.
I mean, basketball is better. The Knicks are better than we thought. The Brooklyn Nets look like the team that could come out of the East. So those are two positive things. The Yankees are still the Yankees. And according to Pakoda, the Mets are going to run away with the division by 11 games, which is still amazing to me. Whoever does the simulations, the Mets are going to win the NL East by 11 games.
By 11 games.
Running away with it, baby.
How nice would that be?
You know who else is trending up?
Who?
The great Johnny Manziel trending up.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I actually
he's
watched
playing
some of
in
this.
The,
I watched
what,
some of the
league,
of this.
What league are we calling that now? The Fan League or something? What's the name of this thing?
Yeah, that's what they call it. It's the Fan League or something.
The Fan? I was about to say, that can't be the official name.
What do they call it, RJ? What's the name of this thing?
I believe it's the Fan Controlled Football League.
The FCFL. And he's very good in the FCFL.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
He's good start, even with the loss. No win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
Yeah, there you go.
The Zappers.
Win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
Is this the
He's really gotten
Trevor
his life
May
together.
Is a part owner of a team?
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching some of the highlights of this. 1.2, so the extra point, it's indoor, and the extra point is they actually take the snap, but it's not from a center. They actually have a ball boy place the ball on a stool.
What's the logic behind that?
Wait, no idea.
They put a stool on the field?
Yeah, the stool on the goal line.
Okay.
And then it's a one-on-one on the outside. And then Johnny Manziel takes the snap off the stool, and then he makes the throw. Interesting.
Wait, what?
Good start, even with the loss.
No
win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
I don't know why. I didn't ask the question.
Oh,
it's a stool.
Where did that come through? At like the big board meeting? All right, guys, I got a great idea. We put a stool out there at the goal line. You couldn't have a center?
No, I get this dynamic stool that they want to get involved.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the rage.
Maybe it's a sponsorship opportunity.
Maybe
for the
it
stool.
Is.
It's a squatty potty.
The FCFL sponsored by this great stool.
You haven't seen this yet?
I haven't seen one. I couldn't tell you anything. I didn't even know the name of the league.
Manziel had a nice scramble. Nice little run.
In a one-on-one situation?
No, just during the regular game.
Okay.
No, it was a top play. He threw it. He threw the pass just to his right, and it got deflected up in the air, and then his receiver ends up catching it for the...
So who is playing in this league?
Johnny Manziel.
Is the stool eligible?
No win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
It's a sneak by the stool.
I love they put a stool. Somebody runs a stool onto the field.
No win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
Off the stool.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
Johnny Manziel.
DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All right, let's go. Little three stars of the day.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
A lot of consideration to Johnny Manziel getting a star today, boys, but I'm going to start it off with Dave, who's got Rick's kids clearly angry. I don't know about the whole President's Day thing, so Dave is going to get third star. Actually, I'm going to scratch that. It's not going to be Dave getting the third star. It's going to be President's Day and the learning that Rick's kids are going to get. Hey, make sure you send them to Grant's tomb or something later on, Rico.
Herbert Hoover. I mean, March 4th, 1929 to March 4th, 1933. A terrific president.
Can learn a lot around here.
Number two.
Number two is going to go to our guy. Everyone loves him, Ian Begley. Champ, rolling out of bed, hopping on the show. And the story coming to light about how he cut a date short just for Dave Rothenberg. I mean, that's...
Commitment.
Commitment. You can't find anything better.
And
love
to do
Ian
it in
Begley.
A vegetable with the ATMs.
That's right. He snuck right into the vegetable.
Number one.
Number one's going to go to our own Chris Canty for laying out the, I don't want to say the plan because he's really not going into too many details, but great Valentine's Day for Chris Canty, it looks like, and showing Dave Rothenberg how it's done.
Oh, yeah. High level of execution on Valentine's Day. I appreciate the star, Sam. It's my first time getting a star since we started the three stars.
Any star at all or the one star?
No, any star at all.
Wow.
First time, yeah.
Chris, is this, Ray, this is the first time you think Canty's been worthy of a star?
You know, I could have sworn I've given him another one. Definitely not the first star.
No, you didn't.
Not the first star.
It is the
that's
first.
For sure.
It's the first
it's
star.
It's obvious that he's taken tremendous notes and has
star.
Been very dissatisfied
I'll
with
take
your...
It.
Handing out the star.
Well, I'll take note of his note.
You need Jesus.
And we'll keep an eye on that going forward.
James Madison, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, Martin Van Buren.
Oh, you knew Muhammad, baby.
That the kids can learn from today. It's Rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DPHO Canty Rothenberg and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPHO Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.